Good to see so many alert faces out there this evening. And I'll see if I can keep you all alert throughout the lesson. There'll be quite a few scriptures that I will read to you. And sometimes that is a little tedious, but I think it conveys the message and it keeps me out of trouble. If I stay within the scriptures, I know the things that I'm saying then are correct and true. This is a chart from our study of first principles. It's the first book that we studied. As you can see, it's page 23. And it's examples of conversion that have taken place in the book of Acts. And over on the left-hand column, you have the various scriptures associated with the various people that were converted. And there across the top, you see there's preaching, believed, repented, confessed, baptized, and then salvation. Now, Jesus said he came to save those who were lost. Saved from what? Saved from the wrath of God. We've all sinned, and we deserve punishment for our disobedience to God. And there was nothing, there isn't anything that we can do to change things, but God sent Jesus to change things. And the book of Acts tells us the fulfillment of that plan and what was necessary to become saved, to have our sins forgiven, to be in an acceptable relationship with God. And so we spend quite a bit of time as to what the Bible teaches in this area. We say you have to hear. Somebody has to preach to you or teach you. You have to believe the message. You have to repent of your sins. You have to confess Jesus is the Son of God, that Christ is one sent by God, and then be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. And so we have this so-called five-step process that people go through. And as you can see on the left-hand side, the different names of people there and different individuals that were saved. And then the next column is believed. And you can see there's quite a few scriptures that teach that belief is important in being saved. Then you have repented. We have one scripture there. Confessed. We have one scripture there. And then baptized. There's a whole slew of them. And we use a chart like this often when we're talking to people who feel that all that is necessary to be in an acceptable relationship with God is to believe, to have faith. And we look at all these scriptures, and they will use all these scriptures to defend their position. But we'll go over and we'll use the scriptures on baptism to show that it is necessary and it is the one of the important steps in salvation. But all five are. You can't leave any of them out. But we focus on belief. They focus on belief. And we focus on baptism. But tonight, I want to focus on repentance. And there's just one scripture in the book of Acts that talks about that. Although there are other places that talk about repentance. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will likewise perish, in Luke 13, 3 and 5. And so I want to spend some time on this topic of repentance. When was the last time you heard a lesson on repentance? You've heard a lot of lessons on baptism. You've heard a lot of lessons on what faith is, what scriptural, what biblical faith is, that it requires action. It's not just a mere understanding or a mere statement that, yeah, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It has more to do. But on repentance, can you remember hearing any lessons on it? I think I might be able to. Randy says, yes, he can. My memory's short, so I said, no, I haven't heard one. So we'll look at that tonight. In Acts 2:38, there it is, That's the one we all remember when Peter was asked what to do. He said, "Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart." These were the people that were present on the day of Pentecost, and they saw some things happening, and Peter preached that first marvelous sermon to them, and when they heard it, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Okay, I'm going to show you some scriptures that will show, I think, how important repentance is. It may have only shown up once in that conversion table, but I think I'm going to show you quite a bit of scriptures that's going to say it was one of the main events of the message, God's plan of salvation. So before Pentecost, repentance was the first message delivered, and it was delivered by John the Baptist. In Matthew 3, I'm going to read a few verses there for you. It said, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying," what? "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." I won't read the rest, but you can see there was his message: repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus preached the same message. In Matthew 4:7, it said, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was preached before Pentecost by the 12 apostles. In Mark chapter 6, we read, "And he summoned the 12," this is Jesus, "and he began to send them out in pairs and gave them authority over unclean spirits. And he instructed them that they should take nothing for their journey except a mere staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belt, but to wear sandals. And he added, do not put on two tunics. And he said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave town. Any place that does not receive you or listen to you, as you go out from there, shake the dust off the soles of your feet for a testimony against them." They went out and preached that men should repent. Key message delivered before Pentecost by John the Baptist, by Jesus, by the apostles. On Pentecost, we read that scripture. Peter and the 12 preached repentance for the forgiveness of sins. There's that same scripture we read earlier. After Pentecost, what did Peter preach? He repeated it in Acts 3:18 and 19. And Paul preached it when he was in Athens, in Acts 17:30. And I'll just read those scriptures. Acts chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. "But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he has fulfilled. Therefore, repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." And Paul told those Greek philosophers on Mars Hill in his sermon there. He said, "Therefore, having overlooked," this is referring to God, you know, the unknown God, they had that statue or they had that altar for the unknown God. He said, "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should" what? "Repent. Because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. We know he's referring to Jesus. So you can see this message of repentance is preached before Jesus died, on the day of Pentecost, after Pentecost, and even throughout the whole world as Paul took the gospel to them. Well, what is repentance? Well, don't look in the dictionary. Let's just use the scriptures and use the Bible and some Greek dictionaries, maybe some lexicons to help us out here. All right. Here's a Greek word for you. It's metanoeo. All right, metanoeo. And it, by this probably Strong's dictionary, says to change one's mind or purpose. And in the New American Standard Version, it is translated repent 26 times, repented 5 times, and repents 3 times. And this is the verb form of this Greek word that's translated repent. Now I see a lot of eyes glancing over. Okay, sorry about the English lesson here. It's a verb. Action. Repent. It's an action word. But it's also a noun. And this is the noun form, metanoia. And it's to change. It's a change of mind. It's repentance. And it's translated repentance most of the time, 22 times in the New American Standard Version. If we go to those lexicons, W.E. Vine says, if you break the word down, it means to perceive afterwards. The meta part is the part that means after, implying change. And the N-O-U-S part is the mind. Hence, signifies to change one's mind or purpose. And Thayer pretty much says the same thing. It's a change of mind. So repentance is a change. We've always used that word. It's a change, change in direction, a change in mind. But what I want to focus on tonight is that it deals with the mind. The mind. Okay. Can we see repentance? I remember when Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And then he said, well, you can't see that, can you? But you can see this. And he tells the lame man to pick up his pallet and go. And so pick up his bed and go. And they see that and they say, whoa, maybe he can forgive sins. So can we see repentance? Well, what's the Bible have to say about that? In Matthew chapter 3, when John was out there baptizing by the Jordan River, the Pharisees and Sadducees were coming to him. And he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. So there's something he's calling fruits of repentance. And do not say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. So John is telling us, we might be able to observe someone who has made this change of mind. I can't look into your mind and see if you've changed it. But I can see your actions. And remember, Jesus kind of said that things that we say, he's talking about washing things so we won't defile ourselves. And Jesus said, you know, that doesn't defile you. What defiles you is what you got up here, because it comes out. It comes out. So it manifests itself. We can see it by what you say, by what you do. So I can't read your mind, but I can see what you do. And so I'm going to call this fruit inspection. And by fruit, you just say, just put it in the bag. No, you pick it up and you look at it. And you say, oh, it's got a worm in it. I'm not going to have this one. Put it back, take a different one. And so that's what we're going to do with regard to repentance. Well, the Bible talks about different kinds of fruit. There's fruit of the flesh. All right, let's see what that is. Now the deeds, those are deeds, that's what we do, of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. And just in case I haven't named them all. And things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And there's a lot of lists in the New Testament. In Corinthians, Timothy, Ephesians, they have these, and maybe even some more. So if you want to know what deeds of the flesh, fruit of the flesh are, the Bible has a lot of that. But don't practice it. In fact, that's part of the change. Yeah? You look at that list, you might be able to check off a few, yeah, I did that. I've changed my mind about those things. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22-25 reads, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. So we have these two kinds of fruit. And the Christian is to demonstrate fruit of the Spirit. A change of mind is a new way of thinking. We have to think differently. Colossians 3:2 says, therefore, if you've been raised with Christ, keep seeking things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. For you've died and your life is hidden in Christ in God. It's a new way of walking. These are like our deeds. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. So our fleshly desires are to be not done. We need to walk by the Spirit and not carry out the desires of the flesh. A transformation. Romans 12. I like this. Paul says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformation by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, and that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I was going to put the Greek word up there. It's kind of like the word for repentance, but it's not. It's got the meta in there. It's got metamorphosis in there. In fact, we probably get our word metamorphosis from this Greek word. And it means to change or to transform. You know, when you have, when the caterpillar, the cocoon, and then a butterfly. It's a metamorphosis that takes place. And so that's what's supposed to happen to us. That's what repentance is. There's a metamorphosis that's going to take place. We're going to change our mind. Our mind is going to change. We're not going to walk after the flesh. We're going to walk after the Spirit. We're going to think about things that are above, not things that are down below or on the earth. Spiritual, not flesh. It's a new mindset. It's a new mindset for Christians. And here's some suggestions for you. This lesson's going to be short. And I got smiles from a lot of people. here's some suggestions. How are we going to do this? And why haven't we had more lessons on it? Well, I think we have. But lessons are lessons on how to live. You're a new creature, how to live that way and everything. And we just don't call it repentance. But repentance is something that is continuous. We're dealing with it. It's, I think, one of the more difficult steps in being a Christian. True repentance, living a life of repentance. It's challenging. It's difficult. It's not just one thing, you know, in that chart of five things. Okay, check. Yep, I heard it. Check. I believe it. Check. I repented. Check. You know, it faces us every day, every waking moment we have. And so here's some suggestions from the scriptures as to how we're going to be successful in repentance, in this area of repentance. Set your mind on things above. We read Colossians 3 already. We'll read it again. But we also have Paul writing in Philippians something similar as to how we need... Remember, we're talking about our mindset now. And so in Colossians chapter 3, the first three verses, I'll read. It says, therefore, if you've been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. For you've died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So, we're changing our mind, and our mind is going to be on things above. And Paul, when he was concluding his letter to the Philippians, and remember, the Philippians brought him great joy. The letter is just filled with joy and joyousness and rejoicing. And he says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellent, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. You're using your mind to dwell on these things that have been listed here. The things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So Paul is telling us what we need to dwell on, and we need to look at Paul's life, look at the life of Christ, dwell on these things, practice them, receive them, learn them, do them. So here's some suggestions of how to live this life of repentance. We need to keep our focus on Jesus. Not the church. Jesus. Hebrews tells us this. The writer says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, and that refers back to chapter 11, all these men of faith and what they did, what faith allowed them to do, what trust in God allowed them to do. This great cloud of witnesses. And the author of Hebrews says, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses around us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. If you're running a race, you don't put a 25-pound backpack on your back. It's going to slow you down. So we need to get rid of those things in the past, this new mindset that we have. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So here's another suggestion to help us stay on the road of repentance. And finally, we had that great study in the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon, who had great wisdom and great wealth, and who attempted to focus on the earthly things, you know, to enjoy all the pleasures that his flesh and the earth could supply. And when he got all through, what did he say? The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments. Because this applies to every person. God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. And Jesus came to save us, all of us. And he's going to judge all of us. He's done his part. We need to do our part. We need this mindset that is on things above. We need to dwell on things that are above. We need to look at Jesus and to look at Paul's life and let them be our hero. And we have the other heroes of faith to use to guide our lives. So when we go back to the chart, and we're at the end of what I prepared for tonight, certainly preaching and hearing is important. If you don't hear the message, how can you respond? And so you need to hear a message that comes from God, and it comes through the Scriptures. The next thing is, you have to accept it. You have to believe it. And belief is more than just mentally saying, I understand it. I think it's true. It's more than that. And that will lead us to repenting and to confessing and to be baptized. And there is a scripture, Mark 16 and 15, which shows these, at least four of those things. And this is what Jesus said to his apostles. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And so tonight, if you're here, and this is the one of the times that you've heard this message, but you still have not responded to it, I hope that some of the things that I've said has helped you move closer to that, making that decision to respond to the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have water, and so we can immerse you this very night for the forgiveness of your sins. And if the lesson, which was more for me, has to do with, you know, how are you with regard to repentance in your life? How's your mindset? How are you behaving? You know, there are things that when we first became Christians were very obvious to us, things that we shouldn't do, and there were obvious changes that we had to make in our lives. There were maybe certain groups of people and certain places that we would go that we wouldn't do anymore. And so it was visible to us, all these things. But I think most of us now have kind of surrounded ourselves with people that don't take us in that direction. And the danger is we're maybe getting a little bit too lax. And things might be creeping back into our mind that we need to repent of. And so if you're here tonight and you'd like prayers for any reason from the congregation, we can help you in that way too. So Bill has selected a song. Why don't you open your songbooks to number 630, Watch and Pray. Bill?